Now we want to change the gear to touch another area in nanotechnology application in agriculture. As you are aware, or you know, our modern agriculture is facing a lot of challenges. First of all, low use efficiency of traditional fertilizers by crop plants have increased significantly the production cost and also accelerate the environment pollution, as you are aware of that. Let me see. Let's call it go down. Okay. Sorry about that. Also, in the last 2 decades, and we see increased incidence of some kind of devastating crop disease such as citrus green or citrus huanglong bean, we call the citrus HLV. With our current traditional methods, we don't have any solution or that cannot be cured by our traditional way of pesticide application. Because of intensive use of fertilizers and pesticides, we have to, so that will enhance the residual accumulation in food and the environment, thus resulting in food safety issues and environment pollution issues, and also loss of biodiversity. So all these problems really we are facing with our traditional methods, we cannot really do anything. So we hope nanotechnology will help us to solve some of our problems. As you know, nanotechnology is an application of extremely small things, and also it is envisioned that nanotechnology will change the nature of almost every human-made object in the next century. It is by National Science and Technology Council. In agriculture, and based on our overview, and nanotechnology probably can do the following things, and following five aspects, you see a lot of application of nanotechnology in agriculture that include the nanofertilizers, nanopesticides, nanoderivative systems, and the plant growth enhancers, and the plant also nanosensors for nutritional diagnosis. All these have a common aim to reduce the loss of chemicals, to enhance the use efficiency of chemicals in agriculture, or we can probably hopefully to increase yield by optimized nutrients and pesticide management. Some of the examples of nanofertilizers include the nanoapatite and nanocalcite or nanomanganese or nanotrace element that have been used or studied used in agriculture to enhance the use efficiency of nutrients and enhance plant growth. Examples also with nanoadditives such as titanium oxide nanoparticles also. Carbon nanotubes that have been used to enhance the use efficiency also fertilizers and pesticides. Nanoderivative fertilizers, we also have many examples such as organic emulsions and polymeric nanoparticles and nanosilicon, nanotheolite, etc. You are going to see more products like this in the market. So in general, the nano formulations as compared to traditional or conventional formulations, they are more effective in enhancing the plant growth, or more effective to kill the insecticides or to kill the disease in the center. For example, carbon nanotubes have been used to enhance the seed germinations and the plant growth, and you're already aware about this research finding, and with only 10 to 20 parts per million, and carbon nanotube will be able to enhance the seed germination by 30 to 40%. They also can enhance the plant growth. Also, nanocapsules have been used to extend the life span of the effective components, or to increase the efficiency or efficacy of pesticide. So, an ideal delivery system, and we hope should be consisted of nanoscale material, functionalized to acquire surface absorption capacity or capsulation capacity so that they can carry the water-soluble molecules or lipid-soluble molecules. And they can be also added with intelligence, so we call the SMART, for targeted delivery or controlled release so that we can enhance the use efficiency of the effective component such as fertilizers or pesticides. Also, we want this kind of delivery system itself biologically degradable so that there will be minimum post effect or residual effect. That's what we hope. So right now you can see many types of delivery systems under study, or they have been already applied in agriculture, but in general they can be classified into two main groups, liquid or solid. Solid delivery systems include organic nanoparticles, inorganic nanoparticles, and composted nanoparticles. And the liquid, you will see some emulsion system and nano polymersomes or nanolipsomes. All this has been actually applied in food industry and also in agriculture. Here, just give you some of the example and with the application of lipid nanoparticles and also polymeric nanoparticles in food industry, trying to deliver the water insoluble nutrients such as vitamin in our food systems. And also solid delivery system, also there's polished nanosilicon or carbon coated iron nanoparticles that have been studied and applied to delivery some water soluble nutrients in agriculture and in food. And liquid delivery system, we have some emulsion, nano-emulsions. Actually, it has been used for a while and now become more and more complicated with single nano-emulsion or double emulsion system to be used or applied in both food industry and also in agriculture. And now I'm getting more complicated and more advanced with polymersomes, and they can be used to deliver both the hydrophilic or hydrophobic materials. And another one is nanolipsomes, and these delivery systems are ideal for carry hydrophilic bioactive or compounds by entrapping them within their aqueous space core, it means inside, and this kind of delivery system can extend the life of active component because they can be protected from external conditions such as UV light or some other like temperature, etc. So the major thing with the smart or targeted nano delivery system include loading, and the loading mechanisms of smart nano delivery systems consist of, so you can see, let me see where is our pen. So one is absorption on the surface of nanoparticles, the second attach to the nanoparticles, all encapsulated inside the nanoparticle, all entrapping into nanoparticles. These are all currently and used for loading the effective components or molecules into nanoparticles. And the release mechanisms that can be triggered under microenvironment, magic microenvironment, using physical, biological, or chemical stimuli. This is just to show you how the loaded effective component will be released through a kind of stimuli. So this stimuli can be physical, biological, or chemical. We will talk more about this later on. And this is coated RNA nanoparticles and applied in plant production system, how we use them, and we can show and how this nanoparticle can penetrate in living plant tissue and migrate into different region of the plant. And in medical field, I believe you know that in medical field, the smart nano derivatives has been used in more advanced way than in agriculture, in much more advanced way in agriculture. In the medical field, actually, they use the polymer drug loaded polymer nanoparticles, and when these nanoparticles move the tumor cells, and in tumor cells there's some kind of specific enzyme that will be cleaved the drug from the nanoparticles, and in this case and the drug will be released only in tumor cells, so that it will reduce the damage to our healthy cells, in our health cells. And this is the system we are studying right now. This is called the pH-responsive nanodelivery system, and it's a nanoparticles made of amino acids, and they are amphiphilic and surface charged, so they have both carry capacity. One is in the middle. So the lipid soluble chemicals such as pesticide can be loaded in the hydrophobic compartment, and while the water soluble molecules can be carried by the hydrophilic surface because they are charged. So during the assembly, the effective component will be loaded inside, and also adsorbed on the surface. And when the pH environment is higher than pH of these nanoparticles, then the nanoparticles will disassemble to release the effective component. Why we want to study, spend time and a lot of time and work with the polymer scientists and with horticulture scientists to study these nanoparticles, because right now we are trying to find some solution for the citrus HLB. And talk a little more about the medical. In medical, as you know, the patient they really like the called drug, target drug, like a target drug, and because the target drug has much less effect on patient. The reason is that the drug will only deliver to the tumor cell to kill the patient, and without really cause much damage to health cells. So people will be really willing to pay much higher price to buy the called target drug for the patient. Cure. Actually, in medical field, many different kind of stimuli has been used, including the physical, chemical, biological, and so they are much advanced as compared to the medical field. We are much lag behind, but we are trying. So, and right now we are still at the greenhouse level. So let's go back to citrus LB. Why is it so critical? And because this disease, as we know, has caused a lot of trouble for us. It's a disease caused by sea lice. This is a bacteria reside within the plant phloem. And in Florida, it was first discovered in 2005 in Miami, but now it has infected all the citrus growing citrus in Florida. It already caused a reduction in yield of by half in 10 years. It is widespread in the whole world, in Brazil, in China. We all have this problem so far. We don't have a cure, don't have a solution for this. So that's why we're trying to make effort, trying to start from here. We're trying to provide some potential solution for this disease. In Florida, under emergency situation, and so the grow are allowed to use some kind of antibacterial. One is streptomycin, another tetracycline, as you know. Both are not water soluble, so we apply the through foliar application, or it's very ineffective. That's why we're trying to use our tools, nano as a tool, to deliver the effective component directly to the plant phloem so that the concentration can be accumulated in plant phloem to kill the bacteria. That's what we hope. So, as you know, phloem is different from other plant tissue in two aspects. One, phloem has a higher pH. Second, the phloem contains high concentration of sugar. So our nanoparticles will be designed so that it will release the loaded effective component at a high pH. So the effective component will not be released in some other plant tissues, only released at the target site. The second, and we also designed the sugar-responsive nanoparticles so that it will also, under those microenvironment, the effective component will be released there. So, as compared to field, to medical field, why we lag behind, one of the challenges we have is the nanoparticles for delivery effect component for application in agriculture need to be small enough to enter plant via cell wall pores. As you know, human being and animal don't have a cell wall, but the plant has a cell wall with a small cell wall pores, so the nanoparticles need to be small enough to be useful in agriculture. The secondly, the nanoparticles and for our purpose need to be pH or sugar responsive so that the effect components can be released at the microenvironment presented only in the phloem. And third, the nanoparticle should be biocompatible, environmentally friendly, and biodegradable in order to apply it in the food production system. It's very important. So this is the nanoparticle so far we have prepared and will be used in agriculture. This is, as we say, it's a hydrophilic polymer. It's a copolymer with a hydrophilic section and a hydrophobic section. So during the assembly, the effective component will load it in the core part of nanoparticles. And the higher pH and then the nanoparticles will be disassembled to release the antibacterias. So this is the nanoparticle we have so far, and you can see the size is pretty small, on average 20 nanometers, and it has negative theta potential, so it will also be able to load in positively charged trace elements if we wish, in addition to carry the pesticide or antibacterial, which are not water soluble. And this is pH responsive. You can see and low pH, pH 6, 7, the release of effective component is minimum. However, when the pH reached 8 or above, you can see the effective component rapidly released with almost 80% of the loaded component to be released at a high pH. And this is some of our study. We use the plant cell from the grapefruit, and this is one of the citrus, and to study how the effective component loaded nanoparticles can get into the plant cell. And from here, you can see that actually the nanoparticles are able to access the cells within a short time. In 10 minutes, you can see the fluorescence inside the cell. And with increase of incubation time, and you see an increase in the concentration of nanoparticles inside of the plant cell, inside of the plant cell. And also we see some of the nanoparticles all get into cytoplasm and the nuclear. So this is good news, and the next stage we're going to go with the plant test and to see and how it will, how effective it will be as compared to traditional methods. But meanwhile, we also conducted some study trying to look at the impact on plant growth to see how it will be compatible with plant production system. From here, you can see we increase the concentration of the nanoparticle up to almost 200 parts per million per million, 200 parts per million. The effect on the plant tissue viability still minimal. So in general, this concentration is quite high, and usually we don't need that concentration for agriculture application. It means under the application, with the application concentration, this material is safe to use. And also we conducted some study on its impact on soil quality, on microbial activity, and you can see that we use a two representative agricultural soil, and this is controlled. This is amended with 200 milligram per kilo nanomaterial. And you see the first soil, we see some stimulating effect, and the second soil, no difference. And as far as microbial respiration is concerned, and we really don't see any negative effect. We see a little bit of stimulating effect. So it should be safe to use. And next stage, we are trying to design a double triple system nanoparticles, and use both pH and sugar, because that's the only condition you can meet in a plant fluid. Why we want to do that? And because if you are going to apply this through the soil, in that case, and probably in some of the Korean soil, the pH may be above the 8, so the effect component will be released in soil before it's taken up by plant. So we want to also use a double trigger so that mechanism, so that it will be safe if we slow soil application. So in general, we believe that also, I think, and through this today's report, you should probably know better. Nanotechnology really has great potential, to enhance the nutrients use efficiency, and thus reduce food production costs and environment pollution. And also, nano delivery system may revolutionize the fertilizer and the pesticide application in agriculture and generate economic and environmental benefits. Because also right now, the nanoparticle probably a little more expensive than traditional application methods. However, if you consider the amount of the pesticide or nutrients to be applied through this system, only maybe a small fraction of the traditional amount. So in that case, you're going to reduce a lot of cost in fertilizer or pesticide. Also, you will reduce the loss of the fertilizer or pesticides into the environment. So there's a lot of other benefit you can see. So prospect in the future, and we still hope we can reduce the cost of the nanomaterial. So for actual application, and so next we want a really more powerful nano delivery system to be developed, and which have compatibility, decide loading capacity, target delivery, and control release and the biodegradation. With that, I would like to thank you and the funding agency from University of Florida and the National Science Foundation and the Citrus Research Board for support of this project. With that, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions?
At the beginning, you mentioned that by using the nano additives, it can improve the pesticide using efficiency.
Uh-huh.
For this case, it can reduce the pesticide contamination in the environment.
Yes.
But for this practice, you may bring the additional contamination in the our system because the nanoparticles is contaminated itself. So several speakers have shown that the nanoparticles have the toxic effects. So it's like to solve one problem, you bring a new problem in.
That's a very good concern. So from the very beginning, we take that consideration. That's why when we design the nanoparticles, we use amino acid. This is natural material. You can find amino acid anywhere, and it's from nature.
Okay.
So we also design it this way. You see that it has minimal impact on soil quality, on microbial activity, and also it has very low effect on plant growth. So with that, we believe this is quite safe for use, and that's the first consideration in our study.
Do some toxicity
test? Oh yeah, in the last two slides you already saw
that.
Sorry,
I missed that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm trying to learn if this is a new area for me. Let me ask you, since you're the expert on this, I think I saw somewhere there's a nano zeolites.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say nano zeolite drug with the ammonia.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a poor ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this nano zeolite with the ammonia will be more effective as a fertilizer than typical, chemical fertilizers? What do you think?
That's a good question. I believe, based on my experience and with zeolite ammonia, you will reduce the loss of ammonia through fertilization or through leaching, because the ammonia will be attached or enwrapped into the zeolite, so it will not go anywhere. So until plant take up, so it will be more beneficial.
And the zeolite itself, nano zeolite,
because
itself,
zeolite
any harmful effect on
plant? No, it's a plant material. It's a earth material,
okay.
So it's a silicate. So mm-hmm. We have plenty of abundant silicate in soil. So zeolite is good material for soil. Yeah, it's a porous material, that's why it can hold ammonia. It also has high cation exchange capacity.
Gosh, thank you.
You're
welcome.
Please. I kind of want to make a comment addressing that gentleman's question a little bit. It's not that nanomaterials are toxic and bulk material of the same composition isn't in most cases. There's a lot of research that's done looking for particle-specific effects, but there's been these big meta-analyses of all the environmental data that we've been able to collect in the last 5, 10, 6, whatever years. And, a nanoscaling factor of 2 has been suggested as a conservative way to capture the difference in nanomaterial toxicity compared to bulk material toxicity.
Uh-huh.
So just application rates and
yep.
concentrations in the soil could be adjusted to manage it.
Yeah, we conducted this kind of study, not only use nanoparticles, also use the original amino acid if we use the polymer to test the, how high the concentration can go.
I think in your specific case, you're particularly, I think you're particularly benign treatment design.
Thank you.
One last question.
In food science, food chemistry,
yes.
And they have food grade surfactant,
uh-huh.
food grade nanoparticles. At least they think, FDA think, that they are kind of benign. So have you considered those food grade chemicals to synthesize your delivery nano material? The food grade, at least people think it's food grade,
Yeah,
to public is more acceptable.
Yeah, you know, and we're always looking for the best material, of course, but you have to consider it can work or not, and it has to function. It can be made into polymer and then made into the nanoparticles, and also it will have the loading capacity and will have some function.
Yeah, for example, in some of your slides, like a vesicle type of material, you make a vesicle, surfactant can make a nice vesicle, then your chemical get into that vesicle.
Yeah.
Once your vesicle disrupt, then chemical will be released. So maybe think about this.
That's a good thought, definitely, you can see it's just the very beginning of the study. In the future, you're going to see many study couple many areas. That's a good thought. Before you go, I want to invite the one of the representatives from a nano aggy product company. And their product have been, not only they have product in the market, they already have product applied in agriculture. With only 1 gram can cover like 5 acres. Just a few words and to tell your product. Because I work with that company, so I know, and they have some product, and at least they can increase the yield around 10%, but they're so effective, it's really unbelievable. Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I didn't expect this invitation from you, Doc, but it's nice to be here. Yeah, we have been working with agriculture. I've been working with agriculture in the last 20 years. And we are a company that has been working in the cultural business in South America. So like 10 years ago, the owner of the company that passed away last year, he decided to try or to make tests with different products.